Hi, we're in a series entitled Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. My name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. Good morning, guys. This is the last message of this series. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Here we go. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, justified means just as if I have never sinned. It's what happens when we give our life over to Jesus. Been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's better than this. More than that, he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Father, help us to hear what you have to say this morning. God, as we talk about a heavy topic, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, today really is going to be a little bit of a heavy topic because we're going to be talking about heartbreaks today. Heartbreaks when it comes to relationships. We're specifically going to focus on divorce and infidelity. You know, really this morning as we talk through this message, I want you to know that we are battling together today when it comes to this message. As we know, when it comes to a divorce or when it comes to infidelity, it is a huge heartbreak. And it brings a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. But here's the thing as we jump into this. In no way is this message designed to bring condemnation, to bring shame, or to belittle you in any way. If you hear, as we're talking today, if you hear a voice trying to bring condemnation, if you hear a voice trying to bring shame, can I tell you, that is not the voice of Jesus. It's not. That is the lie of the enemy continuing to try to bound you and to continue to keep you in bondage. Today is about bringing life and hope and healing. This morning, I'm here to tell you, some of you are going to get your joy back because of what has happened, because of the heartbreak that you have gone through. You have lost your joy. I'm telling you, it's taken me about a month to prepare this message. And one of the things that I have done in this message is I am incorporating a lot of testimonies. I talked to different individuals. I've spoken to different couples, and they gave me their story of how Jesus helped restore their joy as they walk through a divorce, or to restore their joy and reconcile and heal their marriage as they faced infidelity. And I'm believing that the same that happened to them is going to happen to you today. That there's going to be a new joy released into your heart. Because what's happened for many of us is the enemy has used the heartbreak to keep you bound and really to weigh you down. And you've heard things like this. You will always be marked by this. You're no good. Why did you allow this to happen? I believe many of you that have gone through these kind of heartbreaks are hearing this. Again, one of the things that I've done is incorporated some testimonies as we walk through this message. Because it's one thing to hear from me. But it's another thing to hear from somebody that has faced heartbreaks like this and have come out on the other side. Have overcome walking through a divorce. Marriages overcoming infidelity. And my hope for you today is the same happens to you. You know, one thing as I listened to these stories that I kept hearing over and over and over again is that these lies that the enemy tells us as we face these heartbreaks are very real. Here's what one person said. It was actually a female. She said she kept hearing, "You're a failure." She faced a divorce. "You're unwanted. You're damaged. You're unfixable. You should be embarrassed because this happened. It's your fault because of what has happened. You will always be marked by this. Why did you allow this to happen? See, dear friends, this is what the enemy does. If you don't know it, the enemy is called the father of lies. Every time he speaks, you know what he speaks? He speaks lies. And he keeps us bound by these lies. But here's the thing about a lie. If there is a lie, then that means there must be a truth as well. Every lie of the enemy is a twisting of the truth. It's a perversion of the truth. It really is one of the enemy's greatest tactics. He is a master, friends, at contorting truth. He may just give you 90% of what is true. See, you probably can think back specifically in the book of Genesis. Remember what the enemy did in Genesis? He used perverted truth. He contorted or twisted truth. He said this, did God really say? Remember when he was talking to Eve? Did God really say that you cannot eat from the tree? But the word of God, and really the word of someone's testimony, you know what it does? It breaks the power of the enemy so that you and I can be free. And once we're free, now we can actually grow in our faith, even though we may have faced a heartbreak. Did you know this? Did you know that you can grow in your faith, that you can actually benefit from a heartbreak? This is exactly, friends, what Romans chapter 5 is telling us. Paul starts out by telling us that there are benefits for those that have been justified by faith in Jesus. That when you and I trust in Jesus, when we confess our sins, we are justified. Again, that means just as if I have never sinned. And once we're justified, we begin to experience these benefits of our new positioning in Christ. Well, what are those benefits? Well, Romans 5 tells us, number one, the first benefit is we have peace with God. It means I'm no longer at odds with God. I'm not an enemy of God any longer. Because of what Christ has done, now I am a son or daughter of God. He is my Father. I have peace with God. No matter what has happened, when I give my life over to Jesus, I have peace with God. Good news. The second benefit is I also have access to His grace. It means that I have been ushered into, by Jesus, into God's throne room. Now here's the thing about a throne room. We should all know this. We never stumble into a throne room. We never accidentally find ourselves in a throne room. And the reason why is because throne rooms are heavily guarded, aren't they? They're very heavily guarded. So you don't stumble or accidentally find yourself into a throne room. You have to be ushered into a throne room. And this is what Romans 5 is telling you and I, that you and I, because of Jesus, Jesus is ushering us into His throne room as a son or daughter of the living God. And we're ushered in for a specific reason. And that reason is He desires to have a relationship with us. Good news, isn't it? We have access into His grace. And number three is I get to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because I've been justified, now I have a hope-filled certainty that no matter what heartbreak or what setback I have gone through, I have a hope-filled certainty that I belong to the Father. And one day I'm going to see Jesus face to face because of the work of Christ. And when I see Him face to face, you know what He's going to say to you and I? Well done. This is the promise of Scripture. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But this benefit here is going beyond just what I get to experience in heaven. It's communicating, yes, I have a future hope. But it also is communicating to me that I have a hope right here in the nasty now and now. Right here in the heartbreak. Right here in the suffering, God is telling me I can still do some amazing things. Paul is pretty amazing what Paul is writing here. Because he knows life, I think you and I would say amen to this, is very complex. It's full of pain, isn't it? It's full of sorrow. And he knows it's easy for you and I to appreciate all of these benefits when everything is good in our life. But the question becomes, What about when all hell breaks loose? What about when my spouse comes to me and says, hey, I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't love you anymore. What about when your spouse tells you, I feel like I'm in love with someone else? Do these benefits just go away? Paul is telling us here, no, they don't. He's saying these benefits for you and I as believers, they make a difference. Not just in the future, but right here, right now. He tells us here, because of the benefits, that we can rejoice in our suffering. That we can rejoice in our heartbreak. Now that sounds very odd to me. Because suffering is difficult. It causes pain. It causes all kinds of different difficult emotions to stir on the inside of us. How can it be that I can rejoice in suffering? Or that I can rejoice, for this message specifically, in and through my heartbreak? Is that possible? If you're sitting here today with a heartbreak, the heartbreak of divorce, the heartbreak of infidelity, is it possible for you to get to a point where you can rejoice in and through your heartbreak? As I read through the testimonies, what I did is I talked to three couples and about four individuals that went through a divorce and three couples that have faced infidelity. And I got them to write out their testimonies. And one thing I kept hearing as I read them over and over and over again, I begin to read this biblical truth that their suffering produced things in them that nothing else could. Listen to some of this. One wife said this, having walked through infidelity. She said, this process has been so hard, but yet so worth it. Our marriage is stronger than it ever has been because of what we faced. Rejoicing in suffering. Another wife said this, I could see a weight being lifted off my husband when he confessed what he had done. Even in my devastated state, I could see that Jesus was changing my husband. This opened up a door for a lot of talking, more like yelling on my part. But even though I was so angry, I could visibly see my husband changing. Even though he knew he could lose the kids and me, I could tell that Jesus was setting him free. Rejoicing in suffering. Here's from a wife who actually stepped out on her husband, but God healed and restored their marriage. She said this, the hope of a great marriage can happen for you. It involves pain and struggle and facing things you would never imagine. We would both say, if we could go back, listen to this, we would not have changed a thing. Rejoicing in suffering. We both grew in our relationship with Jesus and one another. And we have a story to tell others of how God can absolutely work a miracle and restore a broken marriage. Here's from someone who's gone through a divorce. There is still pain associated with the memories. I love this. But the depth of the pain reminds me of the depth of healing and the restoration that the Lord is continuously working in me. See, friends, here's the thing. This is the power that you and I have as believers. We can do this. We can find joy in the midst of our heartbreak, in the midst of suffering. It's not that these couples or individuals found joy in their pain. They hated the pain. They hated the pain just as much as you and I would hate the pain. Just as much as God hated that they had to go through this. But God knew and they learned through the process that they could benefit from their pain. It's possible. It is possible to benefit, to grow even amongst the heartbreak, even amongst the suffering. One of the things I went through to help me prepare this message, again, I told you it took me about a month because I wanted to get this message right. Because these are big topics. Topics that if you don't talk about them the right way, you can hurt people. And that was, I do not want to do that at all. So I went through a course called Reboot Recovery. Reboot Recovery is a ministry here that's really It's around the United States now, around the globe now. The leaders of that attend our church. They're worship leaders here at Bethel, Evan and Jenny Owens. And I went through one of their courses in Reboot Recovery really to help prepare this message. And I love the wording that they use to help people see this wonderful truth, that you can rejoice in your suffering. They use the wording productive pain. Productive pain. This is what Romans 5 here is telling us. That your pain can lead to productivity in your life. Think about it like this, like working out. You know when you lift a weight, what you do, you're inflicting pain, aren't you, on your body. Some of us might need to do this some more, right? But you're inflicting pain, right? This hurts. This is awful. I don't want to do this. But what are the benefits? The benefits, you get stronger. You get healthier. It's productive. You inflict the pain, but it causes your muscles to grow. It's exactly the same, friends, when it comes to heartbreak, when it comes to suffering. When you and I respond correctly to the heartbreak, to suffering, we can grow even in the midst of it. See, remember those benefits that we talked about? Peace with God, access into this, His grace, this idea that you and I have a future hope, the hope of glory, that one day we're going to stand before Him. You know what this is telling us? Is that because of Jesus, these benefits, what they do, hear me, is they give us the ability to look through our suffering to our certainties that we have in Christ. I know you didn't say amen, but that was good. Because of Jesus, because of His work, you and I, when we go through heartbreak, it gives us the ability to look through the pain of divorce, to look through the pain of infidelity, to look through the pain of heartbreak, and we can begin to see the certainties that you and I have in Christ. And these certainties, that's what gives us the ability to rejoice in our sufferings, to rejoice in our heartbreak. This is how this chain reaction that Romans 5 talks about, that through the suffering, what suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And the only way this chain reaction can happen is by the ability of Christ giving me that strength to look through the pain, to look through the suffering, to see the certainties that I have in Jesus. See, suffering, heartbreak, if we allow it, can drive us to the one place where we can find real hope and real certainty. That's with Jesus. His love, His power, we experience it in an amazing way as we walk through the pain of heartbreak. This is why I love the wording, productive pain. Productive pain. Now, all this is great, and I'm encouraging myself, I'm preaching good up here, but how can this happen for you and I? Because if I'm out there and I've got a heartbreak like we're talking about today, I'm thinking to myself, Pastor Lance, you know, I want this. I want a story like I'm hearing. I want to overcome the pain of divorce. I want to overcome the pain of unforgiveness and bitterness that I have because or towards my ex-spouse or towards maybe even my husband. We faced infidelity. We're still together, but yet I'm holding this bitterness, this resentment. What do I do? I want my marriage to be restored. How does this happen? Well, see, here's the thing about these stories. Is each of these stories took time to develop. There was a process they had to go through to be healed. A process for them to find the ability to rejoice in their suffering. The good news, if you're facing heartbreak, the good news for you is that your breakthrough is closer than you think. As I heard these stories and read them, none of them ever thought that they would be where they are today. And it's for the good because of what they went through. See, there's phases to healing, friends. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen because you come down front and get one prayer. It doesn't happen like that. There's phases to the healing process. Now, there's three phases, but I'm just going to focus on one this morning. And the first one is this. The first phase for you and I, if we faced heartbreak, if we're sitting there with bitterness and unforgiveness and why did this happen and all these things going on inside of us, the first phase is you have to find safe places. You got to find safety. If we're ever going to take steps to be healed, take steps to be restored, we have to find a safe place to begin to talk about what's going on. Well, where are those safe places? Where is that safety found? Well, first off, it is found with God. Safety is found in God. God is a safe place. He's a safe place. See, here's a new flash for us if we don't know this already, but you're not in control. I've got to remind myself of this every single day. Lance, God's in control, not you. You're not in control. Now, this is so difficult because when all chaos and all hell is breaking loose, we're facing these heartbreaks. It's so hard to find God, isn't it, in those moments? You're blaming yourself, you're blaming him, you're blaming her, you're blaming God, you're blaming everybody. And it's so hard to find, where is my Heavenly Father in the midst of this pain, in the midst of this suffering? And if we're honest, he is the last person we want to go to talk to about all of this. Because we think he's going to shame us, he's going to condemn us, and we definitely think, church, that's definitely a place I don't want to go. So what do we do in those moments? Many times we run from God. This is why God, by his Spirit, gives us what's called the spirit of faith. See, when we can't find God and we're wondering, God, where are you? Why is this happening? What's going on? The spirit of faith in those moments begins to kick in. And when the spirit of faith begins to kick in, what we realize is we can embrace our limitations and we can let go what we're not responsible for. You are not responsible for the way your spouse responded. It's not your responsibility. And some of you are allowing condemnation and guilt and shame to overcome you because you think it's what? Your fault. Could you have changed things? Of course you could have. But even though what you did or did not do, that other person, it's their responsibility to respond correctly. You can't change how they responded. You can't change if they went out and cheated on you. You can't change it. It happened. If they have left you and you got a divorce, that was their choice. You can't change it. So stop condemning yourself for something, friends, you're not responsible for. Can I get an amen? Stop it. Stop it. You are hindering the healing process. Stop doing that. You're not in control. All you can do is take responsibility for what you're responsible for. But God is there. He's not mad at you. He's definitely not going to strike you down with lightning. Why do we believe those weird kind of things? Yeah, exactly. He's not going to get you. He loves you. And you heard this over and over and over again as I listened or read these stories. Here's what people said. They said, God was preparing me. Here's one husband. God was preparing me. He did not take all my problems away. He did not allow me to avoid them. That's one big thing. Stop denying what's happened. But he did give me what I needed to endure the trial. Listen to this. And he never left my side. Here's a wife talking. I can 100% say it was my husband's faith and his perseverance that reconciled us. I had to seek God on my own and realize it was not my husband's flaws that was separating us. It was me. When I allowed Jesus to fix me, it took the focus off of what my husband was doing, and I began to see I was just as flawed. See, what we're reading, these are supernatural responses. Natural people without Jesus don't respond like this. It takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what God wants to do for you today. He wants to give us this supernatural ability where I can begin to rejoice in my suffering. I can find Jesus. I can find God. I can find his plan. I can find what he's doing, even amongst the heartbreak, even amongst the pain. God's a safe place. He's certain. But here's the question. Will you turn to him? Will you turn to Him? Listen, if I could make you do this, I would do it. If I could follow you around everywhere you go and make you do things that will help you and benefit you, I would, but that would be weird. Hey, man, why is this weird pink shirt guy following you around everywhere? That would just be weird. I can't do that. You wouldn't want that anyways. You have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. Am I going to turn to God? Well, I realize He is a safe place for me. And I can turn to Him. And I can begin to open up and be honest about what's going on. There's another safe place. In this safe place, many times, friends, is overlooked. It's overlooked, and many times it's unused. You know what that is? The safety. There's safety in community. Your church family, this church is a safe place. Bethel is a safe place. You know why it's a safe place? Because this church is filled with people of compassion, people of grace. This church is filled with people that are not afraid to share their stories. And it starts right here on this stage. Myself, Pastor Richard, Pastor Vince, anybody who stands, we're honest about our struggles. We're honest about the painful past. And there are people sitting right beside you that are going to be honest about what they have walked through. You're not the only one that have gone through this. Please hear me. That's why we have these testimonies. That's why they're so important. You're not the only one that's has faced divorce. You're not the only one that has faced infidelity in their marriage. You're not the only one, but this is what the enemy wants to tell you, right? My situation is unique. No, it may be unique to you, but it's not unique to us. Please, I know everybody's story here. Listen, I know. It's not unique. We got some crazy folks here at Bethel. Hey, that's okay. I'm just as crazy. It's all good. We're all crazy with a crazy past. Thank you, Ms. Gail. But there's safety in community. Stop walking alone, friend. Stop it. It's like I tell my kids, stop it. I'm telling you, stop walking alone. You, hear me, you will never overcome what you're facing by yourself. Never. What you're holding inside, if you're not telling, it's darkness, friends. And nothing good grows in the dark. We say it over and over and over again. Nothing good grows in the dark. And if you continue to hold this thing in, it's only going to destroy you. And you're never going to overcome it. Never by yourself. You're never going to do it. It takes God and it takes His family walking together to overcome what you have faced. One of these testimonies, one of the men told me, he said, Pastor Lance, you know, I held this in. Of what I did over, I just held it in. But finally, man, that battle of Holy Spirit and the enemy, man, I felt it raging on the inside of me. And I knew I had to tell somebody what was going on. And when I told somebody and I opened up about the darkness in me, man, breakthrough began to come to my life. He realized, I can't do it by myself. I got to have Jesus and I got to have church family to help me. Again, I heard this over and over and over again in these testimonies. Listen to this. Church family played a massive role in my healing. I was so hurt, I did not want to spend time with God. That's true, isn't it? I love the honesty. This person had gone through a divorce. She didn't want to spend time with God. It's like, but listen, church family was the main reflection of the kindness, goodness, and mercy of God tangibly in my life. Here's our encouragement. Surround yourself with people who will give you an accurate reminder of who you are in the midst of suffering. When we came back to church, I was so sure that I was going to be judged. We all think this, don't we? We all think we have this thing in our heads that people are going to look down upon you. First of all, nobody knows what's happening. But you think you're like, when you walk in, you got this scarlet letter on you. Like everybody knows. It's the lie of the enemy. When I came back to church, I was so sure that I was going to be judged. And people would talk about what I had done. Just the opposite happened. I was welcomed with open arms and loved on. Power, church family. I love this one. My dad was a pastor. You can come on up, Jesse. My dad was a pastor. I would always see people go into his office for counseling. I remember thinking that you must be a weak person if you have to get help. That right there should resonate. A lot of you guys think that. I never thought that my husband and I would need counseling after we were married. I only agreed to talk to Pastor Richard because I had nothing to lose. I am so glad we did. He was able to let me feel heard. He did not tell me to stay with my husband or that everything was going to be okay. He just listened. It's the power of spiritual family. There's safety in community, friends. And the enemy wants to tell you, some of you have church hurts, but I'm here to tell you, Bethel is a different place. This church is, first off, is so glad that you're here if you've had a heartbreak. So glad you're here. Because you're not alone. You're not by yourself. Don't believe that lie. You're welcome here. This church wants to surround you and embrace you and desires to help you. But will you take that step? Say, hey, here's what's happening. See, here's the thing I've learned. Many times, it's not me that you need. It's not like I need that professional spiritual guy to help me. You know what you're saying? You just need somebody with flesh on them. You need somebody that maybe has walked through the same thing and understands the pain and the difficulty of divorce. Somebody who understands the difficulty and the pain of facing infidelity. You don't need the spiritual guru guy to tell you everything. You see somebody that I can lock arms with. Say, here's what's going on. This is why we tell you over and over and over again, hey, why don't you get involved in one of our community groups? Hey, why don't you go to Starting Point? Because what happens is you begin to meet people. And you begin to see, I'm not as crazy as I thought. These people are a little bit more crazy than I am. Here's what's going on. It's not that you're standing up and telling everybody what's happening. But you're finding others that you can lock arms with and connect with. And you can begin to grow in your faith. Remember, productive pain. I can begin the process of rejoicing in my suffering. I believe the story for many of you can change right now. The process can start now. But will you take a step? If I can make you, I will. About to dismiss here. Our prayer team is going to be standing down front. If you're going through a heartbreak, please, I'm begging you, do not walk out those doors without coming down here and say, hey, I need help. We need help. I've been talking about Reboot Recovery. It is a tremendous course to go through. A tremendous course. You need help, we'll help you with that. How to get connected to that, all those things. But will you take a step today? There's safety in God, there's safety in community. I'm telling you, your breakthrough is so close. Again, as I heard these stories and read them and talked to these individuals and couples, they never could imagine 6 months, a year, 2 years, after all this, how quickly the healing was, and how God restored and healed him. Now they're able to rejoice, even though they faced this heartbreak. Father, help us. God, you're a good God. Thank you that you're a safe place. My friends here today feel like they have to hide anything from